I thank the worship team for leading us here this morning in a time of fellowship and praise, and again, bringing honor and glory to the Father that we serve. And also want to thank Abby for sharing with us here again this morning and what's going on there in India. And, you know, looking at the missions conference and all the things that are going on around the world, and it doesn't take long to realize that no matter what type of work for the kingdom that you're in, you will find opposition and you'll find it really quick. Back in the early 90s, I spent some time in a prison in Delaware ministering there, and I went into like a general population area. I don't know if there's a name for it or whatever, but there's a room, big room with about 100 men in this room. There's bunks along the walls, just single beds that the men sat on or slept on or whatever. They had all their stuff there in that little area that was called theirs. And I went in there one day and I met a Muslim, and it looked that big to me, but he was tall. But I walked up to him and I had in my heart, I was so full of this gospel message that I wanted to share with someone. And I walked up to him and I extended my hand to him and just greeted him, and he ignored my hand. Okay. But we started talking, and it didn't take long for me to realize that I was in enemy territory. And I first of all introduced why we were there. I was there on behalf of the Gospel Express at that time, and what was quickly made known to me, he has nothing for them. He has nothing for this Jesus. And I said, well, if you change your mind, I got out of track and handed it to him. And he said, I don't know if you didn't hear me. And his voice began to boom and got loud. And he started to curse at me. And now the men in this room are starting to stop what they're doing, and they're watching this interaction. The guards, they stop what they're doing and they're watching this interaction. And I began to wilt. Anyway, eventually he grabbed the track that I had in my hand. There was a trash can there. He stuffed it down into the trash can and said he believes nothing in this here Jesus Christ that I'm talking about. And there are many of you here this morning that it doesn't take you long, as I said, when you enter into work for the kingdom. It doesn't matter if it's at work, if it's at home, wherever it is, you will meet opposition. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. And again, I believe this morning that as we take a look at all the work that there is to be done, and as the story went on from that point, I left that dorm room or whatever you called it there in the prison, and I shared with some of the brothers that were there and gathered around me, laid hands on me, and prayed for me. Because it kind of, when I left that room there, I kind of had the wind taken out of me. I knew that this Jesus that I believe in, because what I had experienced, I knew that it was something that this man needed. But to walk out of that room there feeling like I might not open my mouth again. You know what? Some of you are sitting here this morning and you can identify with that. You can identify that you have given your heart, you've given your soul, you've given your all for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share it with someone, and you met nothing but criticism. Maybe it was a job that you did. Maybe it was something, some type of ministry that you were involved in, and you find the critics just beating you into the ground, taking the life out of you. Matthew 16:18, and Jesus said to Peter, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. I assure you this morning that it doesn't matter what for opposition it comes up against the church of Jesus Christ, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But I want you to notice something in that particular scripture. And he said, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, who's going to build the church? Jesus said, I will build the church. And he didn't just say the church. As the scripture goes on, it says, and on this rock, I will build your church? No, my church. And so when we are presenting the gospel, or we are reaching out, or we are working for the kingdom of God, we can expect to meet criticism. We live in a very critical society. There are critics of government. And we hear it all the time. You hear it in the news. You hear people sitting around lunchrooms talking about it. There's critics of the government. And I'm talking about this morning, what I want to focus a little more on is not just, and I'll talk about this later, but there is good criticism. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about the vicious criticism that tears down and has nothing to do with building up. It is not wrong to disagree with the government, but it is wrong to viciously sit down and criticize. It does not bring honor and glory to the kingdom of God. We live in a society where there's critics of family. There's critics within family. You know, children, I believe it's okay at times if you don't understand what your parents are doing, but it is never okay to viciously criticize them. There's critics at work. We've all run into them, where they get in little huddles and they viciously criticize the place of employment or the leaders there, those that are working over them. And yes, unfortunately, there are critics within the church as well who viciously criticize. And there are personal critics. You may have met them as well yourself, where you thought you knew an individual and all of a sudden they become viciously critical towards you. Do you feel what I'm sharing with you this morning? And as I said, I want to be very upfront with the fact that not all criticism is bad. You know, I invite criticism as long as it is from the Word of God and it comes alongside and it's held alongside of the Word of God, and it helps me to grow into a better person. It helps me grow into the person that Jesus wants me to be. But there is never a place to viciously attack someone with criticism. Never. It does not fit the character of Christ. What do we do? How do we handle criticism? Matthew 5, 11 and 12 says this, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." What are we supposed to do? The next verse says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And I ask you this morning, how do you do that? How do you do that? How, when you have been criticized and you have stood in the face of a vicious attack against the very being, your Christianity, the very Jesus that has died for you, the very person that you have shared with someone else who you know needs this Jesus, and they viciously attack you. And on the unfortunate side, criticism, I quote Bo Dunford, "Criticism has had much adverse effect on the body of Christ." So let me start over. "Criticism has had as much adverse effect on the body of Christ as anything that has ever come up against it." Do you think that's true? Criticism has had as much adverse effect on the body of Christ as anything that has ever come up against it. Someone has said Christianity is the only army that shoots their own wounded. We have far too many in the body of Christ, and I'm quoting, of Christ that only exercise they get is jumping to conclusions and running people down. He also goes on and says this, everywhere you look, you can find the result of a negative criticism. Criticism will drive away a seeking sinner. It will crush a new Christian. It will mar a preacher's testimony. It will hurt the attendance and the spirit of the church. It will drive a wedge between husband and wife. It can cause untold trouble in the church. No one will ever know this side of heaven how much damage has been done by vicious criticism. And all of you sitting here this morning can probably identify with a time or a place where you were criticized when you were from the bottom of your heart following the will of God, trying to do the best that you could do. And you can feel it. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. We're going to take a look here quickly. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in one day, in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, the stones that are burned? Now Tobiah and the Ammonite was beside him and said, and he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, the wall will break down, it will break down their stone wall. In verse 4, hear, O God, for we are, and this is Nehemiah now, hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and an entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. Why? In verse 8 it says, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. In verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them we set a watch against them day and night. Verse 10, pay attention to what happens. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them, that they were told us 10 times from whatever place you turn, they will be upon you. In verse 13, therefore I positioned the men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Wow. We see here, as Nehemiah, it wasn't long after Nehemiah set out to rebuild the wall, that here come the critics, and they come out of the woodwork. Sanballat was the governor of Samaria, and his name literally means strength. Often the opposition that we face is strong. Often the opposition that we face is strong. The critics become strong. And Tobiah, the servant of the Ammonite, Some scholars believe that Tobiah may have been governor of Ammon. And ironically, his name means Jehovah is good. And so here again, we have Tobiah coming and lining up with Sanballat and saying that even if a fox runs up on this wall, it's going to fall down. Now, how demeaning, you know? But his name means Jehovah is good. So not everything is as it appears. Many who come in the name of the Lord do not have his way at heart. And it is becoming more and more so as we go on into time that there are those that put on a face of righteousness, but at heart are not working for the kingdom of God. They are working against. This passage reveals the great struggle that all of us face on a daily basis to maintain a righteous and a godly foundation in our society, in our culture. And I want to just take a few minutes just to look at some of the things that we find here in the scripture. In verse 1, but it so happened that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. He responded with anger. And many of us here this morning have faced the critics that were angry and has caused us to back off. And I believe that maybe one of the things that would be helpful for us is to understand a little bit about the critics. See, Sanballat did the same thing that all critics do. The first thing he did, in verse 2, it says, and he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? And one of the things that a critic will do is the first thing that they will do is they don't function alone. They will go out and they will get people to surround them. People to come alongside of them. Hey, did you hear what's happening over there? You know, it's ridiculous if they think they're going to be able to accomplish anything. They egg each other on, critics do. They egg each other on, and they build up a head of steam to support their fight against the truth. We see in verse 3, with Tobiah, the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. And one of the things I want to point out there is he says, whatever they build, you know, they might accomplish something, they might build it, but it's not going to last. It's not going to last. And so again, we have the critics who come against us. They say, it doesn't matter if the church is busy. As long as they don't accomplish anything. As long as they don't accomplish anything. As long as it's not going to stand. As long as it's not going to be anything of value. Then it doesn't matter. When critics can't stop something, then they demean it. They bring it down. They minimize it, or they... And you can bet that if the building of the wall would have failed, if a fox would have ran on the wall and it would have fell down, they would have been the first ones standing there saying, see, I told you so. I told you so. That's the critic. But one of the things that they failed to take into account, that Tobiah failed to take into account, he said, their wall. And the wall that they were building, the wall that Nehemiah set out to build, this all came by God. It was orchestrated by God. It was God's wall they were building. And this morning I want to challenge you that if you are working for the kingdom of God, if you truly are following the heart of God, working for the kingdom of God, what you are building is not yours, it's God's. and the critics can come against you all they want to. As I shared in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. I will build my church. Critics will come and critics will go. You know, we're not so far removed from the time of Nehemiah, or actually we are far removed from that time. But some of the things that are happening in our culture today, some of the things that people are experiencing today are not so far removed from the criticism that Nehemiah experienced in his life. I don't know how many of you are familiar with, a couple of weeks ago there was a couple of young people that protested abortion at a university in Downingtown. Downingtown, PA, not far from here. University named STEM. And if you go on the web and Google Downingtown protest or STEM, you'll find it. There is video footage shown of these young people who had signs with aborted babies and the babies in the womb and stuff that they stood, the entrance, the exit from the school was two lanes coming out to the main road. And they stood right here on the sidewalk and they had these signs and they would call out to the cars and say, "Are you aware of what is happening in America? There is a Holocaust going on right here in America with all the babies that are being aborted." And as you watch, here you see a man marching up the sidewalk. And he comes right up to them and he asks them what they're doing. And they told him what they're doing. And it turns out he was the assistant principal of this STEM university. I would have loved to show the clip, and I advise you, if you have children, shouldn't be looking at the clip. It becomes very vulgar. He swears at them. He stands in front of them, and he's saying, "Have a good day," to the cars that, as the students are going out, as they pull up to the stop sign or the light or whatever it was there, I couldn't see. But he proceeded to harass them to no end. And they asked him if he knows Jesus Christ. And he said, "I have nothing to do with your Jesus Christ. I'm gay, and you can go where all those babies are going," he told them. This went on for, the clip is about 10 minutes. I don't know if that covers the whole interaction or not. But then, so they stayed back there with their signs, and these are 16-year-olds. That are doing this. And this is a 40-year-old professor, and he gave all his credentials, and he is extremely educated. You'd have never guessed it. But he stood in front of them, and when they would call out to a car, he started to sing, and he'd sing louder than they try to get above their voice. And then they stepped to the side a little bit and called out to some more of the cars that were going out, and he began to dance and click his heels together on the sidewalk. And this is the world we live in today. And there was 37,000 petitions signed in favor. They expelled him for the time being, until they figure this whole thing out, which simply means until it quiets down, they'll have him back again. But there was 37,000 petitions signed by students and people that he knew and all around to keep him in the school. If you stand up for Jesus Christ, if you stand up for the work of the kingdom, if you take a stand, trust me, you better be prepared for anything. You better be prepared for anything. Because the critics will come out of the woodwork, just as they did here. And they called him feeble in verse 2. "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves?" In other words, they're foolish. "Will they sacrifice?" They identified him as foolish. He identified him as a failure. The world views the modern Christian the same way. The modern world views the Christian the same way, as feeble, foolish. Can you think you can accomplish anything? They deny the existence of heaven and hell. They refuse to embrace life beyond the grave. That's the world. Is it going to shut us down? Is it going to stop us? I was encouraged by those 16-year-olds that continued to share their message. And you might have an opinion on protesting. I think they did very well with it. If you want to watch it, it's up to you. Their assumption was that this wall, this work that Nehemiah and the children of Israel were doing was going to be for nothing. And there are doubters and naysayers that remain today. And I want to go on here in verse 4, and I want us to look at the prayer that Nehemiah offered. And here is what I believe. I titled the message this morning, Dealing with Critics. You put whatever title you want to there this morning. But dealing with critics. How do we deal with the critics? How do we interact with them? How do we deal with those people that come against the kingdom of God? Remember, they're coming against the kingdom of God. They're not coming against you. In essence, they are. The Bible says they persecuted me. They're going to persecute you too. Okay? And I wish that this would always only be from the outside. But there are times, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Starting in verse 4, Hear, O God, for we are despised. And I'm finding it a little bit amusing that he says, turn their reproach on their own heads. And I believe that many times, if we will stand back, if we will get on our knees and get before the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're in the face of critics, that God will turn their reproach back on their own heads. You don't need to do it. You don't need to be the one that is turning the reproach back on their heads. Because it doesn't seem like there's any interaction here between Nehemiah and Sanballat and Tobiah. But he got on his knees. He got on his knees in the face of criticism. And he said, give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Make their work come to nothing. May their work come to nothing. And I believe this morning again, that's where God calls us in the face of criticism, that we pray, may their work come to nothing. And let God be the one who does that. Verse 5, do not cover their iniquity. Don't let their sin go, Lord. Don't let their sin go. Don't cover their iniquity. And do not let their sin be blotted out from before them. Because the only way that we come to know Jesus Christ is to recognize our need for him. And so don't let it be blotted out, but bring it before them. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders. And in verse 6, he goes on, he says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. For the people had a mind to work. And if you're here this morning and you're setting out to build the kingdom of God, whether it be reaching out to a neighbor, whether it be reaching out to someone across the world, whether it be reaching out to someone in your family, you have to have a mind to work. Because if you don't, when the criticism comes, you will stop and you will fail. In verse 7, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, and heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed. They messed around too long here. And now they're angry again. They became very angry. And all of them, they conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and to create confusion. So again, I believe here we see the works of a critic. They will now get people around them and they'll come up with a plan, a strategy to be able to overcome what is happening. Verse 9 says, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. And may I call you again this morning to the fact that the critics, do not ignore the critics. I think we need to understand that we need to be wise in our interaction with those that are critical around us, because the enemy's going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So we need to be alert, aware, we recognize, and we set a watch. And the watch that I believe that we need to set this morning, again, is to recognize that when I set out to do the work of the kingdom, that I recognize that there will be critics. There will be. So that I'm not surprised. I'm not taken off guard. This guy here doesn't intimidate me. Because I recognize there's going to be critics to the gospel. There's going to be critics to the work of the Lord. In verse 10, this is what I want us to capture here this morning. Not only does despair come from outside, sometimes when we look at all the work that needs to be done and we set out to do it and there's so much rubbish. Verse 10, then Judas said, the strength of the laborers is failing and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. There's so much rubbish, we can't build the wall anymore. It's overwhelming. And sometimes we can have that tendency to look at the work that is to be done, whether that work is in your family, whether that work is at work, whether it's in the church, wherever it might be. Sometimes we can step back and take a look at that work and say we have no strength to do it anymore. And then here comes their brothers or the fellow Jews who are supposed to be encouraging them. And they come along and they say, so it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came and they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they'll be upon you. Wow, that's encouragement that's needed right now. When the stones are heavy, the wall looks too big, and now they come alongside and say, watch yourself. 10 times they tell you, they're going to be on you. Nehemiah says, therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families and with their swords and their spears and their bows. See, he took some action, recognizing that what they were saying was true. He took some action. He prepared himself. And I challenge you this morning that when you are setting out to do the work of God, prepare yourself. You need to put on the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. Take up the spear of the word. When you have those things in hand, and if you don't, the enemy will find a way to get in. The enemy will find a way to get in and discourage you. Verse 14, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. And I challenge you, my challenge to you this morning, do not be afraid of them. When the critics gather against you, do not be afraid of them. Why? Because remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren. Fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. Why? Because the enemy is seeking to destroy everything that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. That includes your home, that includes your families, it includes your children. Satan is out to rob, kill, and destroy. And I call you this morning to put on the armor, take up the sword, and don't fear the critics. And be it known, they will come. They will come. Don't grow weary. Don't grow tired. Don't give up. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren. Fight for what is right. Fight for what is good. Fight for what honors the kingdom of God. Fight for it. Don't give up. Don't be afraid. Don't grow weary. The rocks look big. They look heavy. But hang in there. Hang in there. Because one of these days, and I don't believe it's going to be too long, those clouds are going to part, and Jesus is going to come back just the way he said he would. Are you ready for that? I am. Bring it on, Lord. But in the meantime, there's work to do. There's a wall to be built. Keep building. Don't let the critics stop you. Don't let them stop you. Keep on building. Father, we thank you this morning that we have opportunity to look into your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would take the word this morning and implant it into our hearts. Lord, I know that there's a whole lot more that could be said about this scripture. And I pray, Lord, that you would protect what is shared here this morning. God, I pray a protection on this congregation. I pray, Lord, that the critics would not be able to stop or hinder the work that you want to do through the people that you have assembled together here at New Covenant. Lord, I pray that there would be energy given to those that are weak, Lord. I pray that the rocks that look big would become small when compared to your strength and your might. God, I pray for wisdom. I pray that we would know where, Lord, to watch for the enemy. And Father, give us the grace to have our swords and our shields and our helmets in place when it comes. So Father, I give this here congregation to you, Lord. I believe that you have a work to be done, and there are people here that are willing to do it. And I pray that you bless them in it. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the chorus to lead us in song.